It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. It's a good day that God has created for us. It's a good day to be together in the warmth of fellowship. We're glad that you are here. You notice that our scripture this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them and they wither. And the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say of Jacob, and why do you speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Several years ago now, our nephew signed up with the Marines. So he was all excited, big process going through, signing up and everything. So the day finally arrived for him to get on the bus and go to Columbia, and he'd seen all the, watched different videos and understood and talked to different people about what they would do when you were first coming in, the Marines, and all the stuff they would have you go through and all this stuff. So the first night he had to spend the night the barracks in Columbia. And then they would be going from there to Parris Island. And so he said, first night they were all there in the barracks. He went to sleep, slept very well. And he said, then I woke up. And he said, it was still dark. And he said, he was there and he just stayed perfectly still, room full of all these new recruits, new enlisted people and everything. And he said, I just started sort of glancing around the room, just very gently looking. He said, all of a sudden, even though it was dark, he could tell there was someone in every corner standing there in the dark. He could tell they were standing in the corners of the room. And he thought to himself, something's getting ready to happen. I don't know what it is, but obviously it was getting near the time when they would wake him up. And they weren't just going to say, time to wake up. They obviously were going to flash all the lights, and these four guys are coming out screaming and hollering at him and scare him really good and get him going and riled up and everything else. And he said, I was just there going, something's getting ready to happen, and it's not going to be necessarily very good. Sometimes we get in a situation where we face life that way. We say, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I don't even understand that saying. I'm sure it has some interesting meaning to it. But it almost becomes the way in which we live our lives. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm waiting for the bad to happen. And we don't mean to live that way. Even optimistic people will be caught saying that sort of thing. Well, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm waiting for that bad thing to happen. I'm waiting for what cruel fate will send my way. Perhaps we don't express it in those terms, but basically, that's what we're saying. We're waiting for when life will slap us around again. I traveled out to southwestern Kansas several times. And going out there, the first time, it's in the summer, it's like 90 degrees, driving along. And if you've been out in southwestern Kansas, it's pretty desolate. There's not many trees or anything else out there. And so there was these little wooden fences type things, rows and rows of them along the highway. And so I was driving with someone who'd been out there before, and so I asked, I said, you know, I guess that's for the sand that, you know, comes blowing across, because, you know, the wind would blow and it would get dusty and all that. And they said, nope, that's for the snowdrifts, to keep them out of the highway. And I go, snowdrifts out here? It's like desert, you know, it's so desolate. And they, oh yeah, we have really big snowdrifts out here, so that keeps it off the highway. So later on that visit, I was talking to an old farmer, and I told him about the fencing, and I said, you know, it's just so unusual that you're prepared for all the snowdrifts. And he said, oh yeah, he said, I've seen terrible snowdrifts. He said, it's really sad when you're riding out on the range somewhere and you see the cows stuck in the snowdrifts. And he said, they don't seem to get impatient. He said, it's like they're waiting for the Chinook. And I was going, say that again, what? He said, they're waiting for the Chinook. And I said, well, I'm from South Carolina, so I don't know what waiting on the Chinook means. And he said, oh, he said, the Chinook is the snow eater winds that come in. And I said, snow eater winds. He said, yeah. And then he explained to me, he said, yeah, they happen out here and people see them and they come in. And he said, the biggest one happened in Loma, Montana in 1972. And it was, you know, really cold. It was minus 56 degrees Fahrenheit. I can't imagine minus 56 degrees Fahrenheit, but it was minus 56 degrees Fahrenheit. And the Chinook came in, the winds from the Pacific Ocean came in a certain way. And in 24 hours, the temperature went from minus 56 to positive 49. Degrees Fahrenheit in 24 hours. So he said, that's why they call it the Chinook, the snow eaters, because it will melt the snow or it will evaporate the snow. It can do both. And so those winds, and he said, when you see the cows, see the cattle and they're stuck in the snowdrifts, he said, you notice they don't really panic because they're just waiting for the Chinooks. He said, the sad thing is that there's also wolves there and they're waiting in the snowdrifts as well, because they can't really move around, but they know the Chinook is coming. And so the cows are waiting for the Chinook in order to be free, and the wolves are waiting on the Chinook in order to attack the cows. I found that terribly sad. It was sort of like, I hope the Chinook frees the cows first. But, you know, I don't know how that would work. I think so many times we live our lives as though we're waiting on the Chinook. We're waiting for the good to happen and hoping that the good happens before the bad happens, that the bad will be delayed or the bad won't take place or the bad just won't be there at all. And so we're waiting on the Chinook, saying it'll either be blessings or curses. We don't really know which way it is. This passage from Isaiah chapter 40 addresses that so very beautifully, so very powerfully. It expresses that understanding of how we live our lives, many times not really knowing the outcome, not really understanding it, sometimes wondering if it's all left up to fate. And God answers that so beautifully. God answers it in a time in which the people felt indeed that the stars controlled their destiny. You know, some people still feel that way today. Back then, it was a part of the deities, the pagan deities, and all of that was going on for them. And so this passage, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah and says, who hung the stars in their place? You're saying that you look to the stars, but I created the stars. I hung them in place. He said, you can't put your faith in creation. You can't even put it in the powers of this world. The powers of this world, because God says, I'm above all those things. I'm above the situations that happen from time to time, the warfares that happen from time to time, the frightening events that might come our way, waiting for the other shoe to drop, waiting on the Chinook. All those things, God says, I'm in control of all things. I give victory over all of those things. God says, no matter what, remember, I am Creator. Remember, I hung the stars in place. Remember, I am the one who guides and directs. I'll be here when all of these situations that we worry about so much are ancient history. God says, I'm still here. I'm still your God. I will be with you. When all that is just blown away like the stubble, God is there. God is eternal. God is our God. We are God's children. And he ends it with this promise. But those who wait for the Lord, waiting not for the other shoe to drop, waiting not for the Chinook, the good or the bad that might come, but putting our focus on waiting on the Lord, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Renewing our strength. The strength that we have been given. The strength that at times can wear thin. God says, wait for me and you'll see your strength renewed. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God saying, your life is not just by destiny or fate or by the power of the stars or by the powers of earthly powers. Your life means so much more. God says, I will give you wings like eagles. You shall soar over all the situations of the earth, over all the situations of your life, of every situation, every trial, no matter what. God is there with us. God abides with us. We live as God's victorious children. Here and now, no matter what, God gives us the victory. Let us go forth in life, in this day, living that victory so that all may see, no matter what, no matter what surprises, no matter what terrors life presents, God has promised us God's victory. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you indeed for your blessings that you give to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for being Creator. We thank you for putting the stars in their places and for reminding us through your grace that you are above all things, that you created all things, and that you care about us, that you care about us as we're caught, as we're waiting, as we're dreading what tomorrow might bring, that you are there telling us, just wait for me, I'm there for you. You shall mount up with wings like eagles. You shall overcome. You shall have your strength renewed. Bless us so that we might be a blessing to others. This we pray in Christ's most holy name. Amen.